Thank you so much. Got a good crowd tonight, amen. Good to see y'all. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate you. It's great to be here. I really appreciate and love this church. And really appreciate and love Pastor Jimenez, and I really appreciate his mentorship and friendship. Amen. He's been a good friend and mentor to me. And I love Verity. And I tell you, if it wasn't in California, I'd be a member. Amen. I'm kind of bummed out that y'all found a building, because I was trying to talk Pastor Jimenez into moving to Sacramento or San Antonio, and I was going to give him my resume. I wanted to try to take Brother Stuckey's job. Amen. I think Brother Stuckey and Tyler Baker got the coolest jobs in the world. Amen. You know, get to work for a great man of God and don't have to put up with all the stress and things like that. And you know, and then just every now and then the pastor takes your collar off and turns you loose and lets you rip it up every now and then, amen? Amen. Slam a Red Bull and rip it up, amen? Matter of fact, I think I might need one of them Red Bulls, Brother Stuckey, you were telling me about. It's my bedtime. But we're gonna try to preach tonight with God's help, so appreciate you being here, amen? Now, Pastor Jimenez, if he does ever leave you, you let me know. I got a resume for you, okay, brother? I'll give you. But you should be in 2 Timothy if you look down. Let's pick it up in verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, nor of me his prisoner, nor of me his prisoner. Now, if you would, I would like for you to underline it in your Bible, if that's your custom of underlining things in your Bible. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, Paul was in jail here, and with mounting persecution, he's writing to a spiritual son in the faith, Timothy, in order to encourage him to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But did you notice that Jesus is not the only one that Paul says to not be ashamed of? Not it. Don't just be ashamed of Jesus, Timothy. There's another person you need not be ashamed of. Paul was reminding Timothy that, hey, I'm your spiritual leader. I'm the one who ordained you. I'm the one who trained you. I'm the one who laid hands on you. Hey, Timothy, when the afflictions of the gospel come, not only don't be ashamed of Jesus, but I don't want you to be ashamed of me either, Timothy. Don't forget about me, Timothy. Now, pick it up in verse 11, if you would. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So Paul has now encouraged Timothy to not be ashamed of his Lord or his leader. And now Paul is fixing to give us some examples. Look at verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. So he's going to give us some examples of some who were ashamed of the leader. And now he's going to give us an example of one who was not ashamed. Those who were ashamed, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Now underline that if you would. He oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now turning your Bible, if you would, to Acts 28:20, please. Acts chapter 28, verse 20. And I like that word where Paul said Onesiphorus refreshed him. I like that word, refreshed. Now, if you want a good example of what it means to be refreshed as a pastor, I'll give you one, okay? If you could just imagine you're a pastor, you're on your way to church, you're driving on your way to church after a video has gone viral on YouTube. You have had death threats, and you know that when you get to church, all kind of media, all kind of haters, all manner of sodomite dogs and perverts are going to be all over the place. You know the protesters are supposed to be there by the thousands. You roll up in the parking lot, and not only is the parking lot not empty, not only is the church house not empty, but there's a record-breaking crowd. Amen. Can you say refreshing? Amen. Refreshing is an understatement. Amen. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for refreshing the man of God. Amen. Being refreshing to your man of God. Let's pray. Father, it's such an honor, Lord. I don't even feel worthy to be standing behind this pulpit tonight. Father, it's an honor to be in the presence of a bunch of modern day Mr. and Mrs. Onesiphoruses who have proven that they're not ashamed of their leader's chain. Lord, you know how they've stood and supported their pastor and his family in the face of the most open, aggressive persecution of believers that I'm aware of in modern history, that I'm personally aware of, that I personally know about. Father, I pray that you would grant them grace and mercy. Father, I pray you would help them to keep supporting the man of God here. Keep being about the Father's business. Keep being a lighthouse deep behind enemy lines here, Lord. Bless them for their work and labor and effort. Father, and I pray that you would anoint me tonight and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the title of my sermon is Not Ashamed of the Chain. I want to preach to you tonight about not being ashamed of the chain. Now, you should be in Acts chapter 28. Look down at verse 20, if you would. Did I tell y'all to turn to Acts 28? Okay, look down at verse 20, if you would, please. I'm sorry, I'm a little under the weather tonight. Got a little cough going on. It says in verse 20, "For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." Now, Paul was bound with a chain here for why? For what reason? Because of Jesus Christ. Now, the chain that Paul is bound with here is a type or a picture. This chain is a type of the reproach that accompanies a close, non-compromising walk with Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't want the reproach that often comes from the world, if you just say, "Brother Manley, I don't want nothing to do with that reproach that comes from having a close, non-compromising walk with Jesus from the world, the reproach that comes from the world, and oftentimes family members," if you don't want that, then it's no problem. It's real simple to avoid. It's real easy to avoid this reproach. All you have to do is be a secret disciple. Or you could just go to one of those wine-sipping, swinging and swaying, sensitive, soft soap, NIV positive, non-soul winning, soft spot for the sodomite outfits of a church. You can just go to one of those and you can just easily shake off and shun the reproach. It's real easy and you don't have to look far because there's one on every street corner. But if you want the satisfaction of trying to be a sold out believer for the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you want the satisfaction of uncompromisingly standing on the solid rock of God's Word, then you're going to have to take a little reproach. And be prepared to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And I'm preaching to the choir because nobody knows about it better than y'all. Amen. But look, it was said of Jesus in the prophetic Psalm 22, I am a worm and a no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. Jesus is a reproach, so naturally the reproach is going to come with the territory. A close walk with Jesus is going to naturally bring some shame and some reproach from the world, family members, excuse me, and even some backslidden Christians. Now, see, not only is there reproach from the world, I need you to be in Hebrews 13:12. Now, while you're turning to Hebrews 13:12, I'm going to read 1 Peter 4:14 for you. 1 Peter 4:14 says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, Jesus is glorified. I believe when y'all were going through what you've been through here recently, maybe Jesus told the angels. He was glorified. He was pleased. He was happy with what he saw. Maybe he told the angels, look at them bunch of stubborn Baptists down there. Look at them bunch of Verity Baptist church members not backing down, not running for cover, not tucking tail and running off. Hey, they're still going soul winning. They're still showing up for church. And I'm glorified, and I'm pleased, and I'm honored by it. Amen? Amen. See, you should be in Hebrews 13:12. Let's look at Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. See, not only is there a reproach that comes from the world, from family members, from backslidden Christians for following Jesus, but there's also reproach that comes when you're not in the camp, for not being inside the camp. And when I'm talking about the camp, I'm talking about the mainstream independent fundamental Baptist camp. I'm talking tonight about, hey, there's a reproach out there. If you're going to take a non-compromising stand on the Word of God, you're going to bear reproach from a lot of different areas. Not just the world, not just your family, not just backslidden Christians. But even now, I'm starting to see the reproach is coming from our own camp. Now, we started Old Path Baptist Church about 9-10 months ago. And God's really blessing. We had 411 people saved in 9 months, 26 baptized. It's all glory be to God. It's all God's doings. Now, we didn't just sit there with it, with it in park. We try to do our part and ask God to do his part. But this is all glory be to God. Amen. God put this together. God's building his church. Sunday, I counted, we had 43. I hadn't been counting much, but I said, I'm just going to count and see how many we got. We had 43 people Sunday in attendance at our Sunday morning service. And we had 4 or 5 people out. So God's really blessing. I'm blown away. I'm flabbergasted at what God's done in 9 months. God has blessed us with some awesome, awesome families. It's not uncommon for us to have 20 people out soul winning on a Sunday afternoon. But even though God's doing great things in our church, and even though some of my pastor friends are aware of what God's doing in our church, that I used to have a lot of contact with, some of my really good, really close friends, it's become obvious to me that if you're not pre-trib, and you're not a Zionist, and you take a real hard line when it comes to this issue of sodomites, you will more than likely find yourself cut off, and outside the camp. I'm finding it to be true, all right? But praise God, not by all, amen, not all. I'm happy to say that I didn't have this in my notes, but I thought I'd share this. And next month, we're flying down my pastor, my preacher. He's 81 years old, the Honorable Dr. Ronald T. Petrick, the first independent fundamental Baptist pastor I ever had. We're flying him down. He's going to stay with me for a couple weeks. He's going to do a marriage seminar and preach for me, and I'm so excited to have him because he hasn't cut me off, amen? He's not a baby boomer. I was listening to that sermon, baby boomer sermon today. That thing's pretty good, amen? I like that. I didn't get quite time to finish it. But he's not a baby boomer. And Brother Roger, or Pastor Menez, I figured this would encourage you, so I just wanted to share this with you. When Pastor Petrie, he texts me just about every week, so I talk to him on a pretty regular basis. And my preacher, 81 years old, and it still pisses vinegar, amen? But I called him when that whole deal was going down with you, and I said, let me ask you something, preacher. I said, do you support Pastor Jimenez? I hear a lot of people attacking him. I said, do you support Pastor Menes? He said, yes, sir. Amen. And he said, them bunch of sads are fixing to have a parade here in Chicago, and they're going to be gyrating on each other and everything else. Them bunch of sads. He starts foaming at the mouth. I can hear foam over the phone, just foam, 81 years old, foaming at the mouth. And he said, they're not gays, they're sads, they're sin, sick, sads. He wouldn't even call them gays, he calls them sads. I guess the reason why he's still like that is because he's not a baby boomer. Amen. Still foaming at the mouth over that issue. Going to be having him preach for me. I can't wait to get him. I love him to death. But, and see, this reproach that's coming from the camp, you know, it's only going to get worse now that I'm finding out about this born this way anyway nonsense that a lot in the camp, a lot of the leaders of the camp have adopted. That's just going to push us outside the camp even further. See, and that's fine with me. If you're tied up with that, I don't want to be in your camp. I want to be as far away from your camp as I can get if you're tied up in that mess. But when this whole deal was going down, Pastor Menez, I know there were several independent fundamental Baptist pastors that were actually attacking him, saying, being very critical and saying things from the pulpit. I came aware of a couple who I knew were doing this. So I sent him a text. I texted him and I sent him that video about Pastor Roger Jimenez versus Pastor Jeff Owens. And I sent him a text. And I said, listen, before you're tempted to be critical of this man of God, let me ask you a question. Were you critical of Jeff Owens 20 years ago? See, the difference is one of them is standing in the gap in a storefront, and the other one was a big shot down there at, you know, with the fundamental Pope. Well, I shouldn't say that because Brother Howells was there at that time, and, you know, I love Brother Howells, but you see what I'm saying? The difference is one of them was a big shot, and one of them was a storefront pastor. Doing a phenomenal job, by the way, and that's what I told him. But see, talking about not being ashamed of the chain, this anti-sodomite chain of reproach that we bear today, it used to be a cool chain. You know, today it's like something we're dragging around with us, and like, you know, I don't wear it. It's not a badge of shame to me. I'll put it on like a Mr. T starter kit. Call me anti-sodomite. Amen? It ain't no shame approach to me, but that's the way they treat us, you know, like we're dragging around a ball and chain. But see, it used to be cool. It used to be like one of those chains. Now it's a chain around our leg, but it used to be like one of those cool Harley-Davidson biker chains, you know, that, you know, the cool guys wear. It used to be a cool chain back in the day. I mean, all the preachers were preaching it. You listen to Jeff Owens' sermon, it sounded like a bunch of Banshee Indians in there shouting the house down. And now, see, the same ones that used to be shouting, now they're throwing stones. They used to be shouting amen, now they're throwing stones. And you got to ask yourself, hey, if the sodomites are throwing stones at somebody, and you're throwing stones at the same ones the sodomites are throwing stones at, whose side are you on anyway? Amen. What side are you on? Good night. I don't understand it. But look, let me say something about this born this. You mind if I get on that born this way faggotum just for a minute? All right, I just want to touch on that born this way faggotum real quick. There's a lot of things I can stomach. I can put up with some pre-trib. I can put up with some Zionism. Did it for years. I was a faithful church member for 20 years. Amen. You call any one of my pastors, I'll give you their phone number. I never cause any debates. I never cause any arguments. I never cause any rifts. I never cause any strifes. I said amen where I agreed, and I kept my mouth shut where I didn't. Amen. I could tolerate a lot of things. I went soul winning. I tried to be a blessing to my pastor. Can tolerate, can put up a lot of stuff. But when you start saying, I'm not a heterosexual, comments like that, and when you start saying, hey, they're born that way after all, that's a deal breaker, my friend. Amen. That's a deal breaker. Can't put up with it. Hey, guess what? When I start hearing stuff like that, my gaydar starts going off. My gaydar starts pegging out. And I own zero association with that kind of nonsense. Amen? Amen. No association. I don't want to. I don't want my. Hey, I can handle. You know, I can debunk some Zionism after church with my kids. I can correct them on that. I can debunk the pre-trib after church. You know, I can talk to my kids about that. But I don't want my kids 10,000 miles within that born this way kind of nonsense. That's confusing. It's nonsense, and I don't want my kids anywhere around it. That's a deal breaker, my friend, and I'm just finding out about all this mess. And you know, I recently defended Dr. Gray, man who I've long time looked up to, man who's been a long time hero of mine, and I found out he's just recently defended him, and I found out he's supporting this mess. And it blows me away. But when I found out, one of the first things I did was I called down to LBT. Stands for Longview Baptist Temple, and the church he pastored for many years. He's not there any longer. He doesn't even go to church there anymore. His son, Pastor Bob Gray Jr., took it over now. But the reason why I was so anxious to call down there was because my daughter, my 70-year-old daughter, has been going to their youth conference every year for the last 4 years and absolutely loves it, loves going down there. I think they do a good job with their youth conference, and she loves Pastor Bob. That's her favorite preacher. So I called him up, and I actually got to talk to him. And, you know, I said, hey, because here's the bottom line. They'd sell popsicles in hell before I'd send my, you know, my kids back down there if they're supporting that stuff. And I talked to Pastor Bob, and I was relieved to hear him say that he totally rejects that nonsense and that his dad was dead wrong on it. He said, Dad's wrong. He's wrong. He totally rejects it. And Pastor Bob brought up a real good point on that issue. Pastor Bob Gray brought up a real good point, about this Johnny Nixon. This guy's got this Born That Way Ministries. He brought up a real good point. He said, hey, as soon as those guys came around here and started trying to turn me onto their ministry, he actually went out to lunch with them. He said, as soon as I found out who was supporting them or who was promoting their ministry. He said, I had him pegged. He said, he's got Duck Dynasty. The Church of Christ works based baptismal regeneration, promoting his product. What is that? That tells you all you need to know about the guy right there. It's all about money. He doesn't give a rip. He's confusing kids by the thousands. He doesn't give a rip that he's causing all kind of confusion and everything. It's all about money. He doesn't give a rip. He's causing people to get soft on sodomy. If you hear some of the stuff this guy's saying, oh, we're all guilty of committing the sin of sodomy. We're all reprobates. We've all been rejected. And the whole thing is, he's laughing the whole way to the bank. Laughing the whole way to the bank with God's people. And I told Pastor Bob, great, I said, my biggest problem with this guy, my biggest problem with this out of hell, born that way, para-church, non-local church ministry, by the way. You know, the guys who used to teach, if I'm not mistaken, I looked on the website, I tried to find some church it was tied to. As far as I'm concerned, it's a para-church ministry. It's not even local church ministry. So the guys that taught us growing up that everything needs to be run through the local church are now all on board and supporting this non-local church ministry. I told him the biggest thing I had with this out-of-hell ministry was that they were endangering children by a bunch of reprobates. They're opening up the church doors to reprobates to come in and pray on children and rent children. Since we were on that subject, I just had the conversation with Pastor Bob, and I told him, you know, I told him, I say, we've got it in our constitution and bylaws that we have a no homo policy in our church. I mean, didn't Jesus say, give not that which is holy to dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they rend you? I had a guy tell me, I won't get off on all that. I want to get on a rabbit trail. But you know what he told me? He said, guess what? I agree. Amen. He said he agrees. He says they find out somebody's a homo in their church, they're gone. And he said he has the same policy. So I was encouraged to find out that there's still some people out there that are non-Kool-Aid drinkers. Pastor Jimenez, I was encouraged about that. Mark chapter 15, verse 43, if you would. Mark 15, verse 43. Paul gave the example of Onesiphorus, who was not ashamed of the chain. But as you know, Moses is another good example of someone who wasn't ashamed of the chain. He wasn't ashamed of the reproach of Jesus Christ. Moses was another good example. I'm just going to read here for you. The Bible says that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. There we see Moses is another example in addition to Onesiphorus. Now look down at verse 43, if you would, Mark 15, verse 43. I want to show you some more examples of those who were not ashamed of the chain. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor. Now underline that in your Bible, if you would, please. Honorable counselor. This guy's a counselor. Which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. I'm talking to you about some examples of people who were not ashamed of the chain. Here's Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible also records that not only was Joseph a counselor, Joseph was also rich. So I think you would agree with me that Joseph has a pretty good head on his shoulders, right? He's a rich guy. He's a counselor. He's got a pretty good head on his shoulders. He had to have known. No doubt, this guy had to have known that the decision to publicly go and beg Pilate for the body of Jesus could cost him his seat on the council. Would anybody disagree with that? I mean, there's got to be a chance that stepping out publicly, identifying yourself, you know, as a sympathizer for Jesus Christ, hey, that could cost you, at least cost you your seat on the council. I believe Joseph knew that if he was to take that butchered, broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ and take him down off that cross and wrap him in some fine linen and put those spices in there, that it could have had financial repercussions. This guy's rich. Now he's putting himself out there. Now he's saying, hey, I'm not ashamed of the chain. The Bible also tells us that Joseph was a secret disciple. He used to be a secret disciple. But guess what? He's done come out of the closet now. Amen? He's not a secret disciple anymore. Look, he may have started out one, but he's not one any longer, praise God. After seeing all the Lord endured, after seeing all the Lord went through for him, he said, I don't care what they do to me. I don't care how many clients I lose. I don't care about my career as a counselor. Amen. I'm blowing my cover. I'm coming out of the closet. I'm doing the right thing, and I'm going to stand up for Jesus Christ and do the right thing, no matter what it costs me. Amen. He wasn't ashamed to bear the chain. Now turn to Matthew 27:32. I believe Joseph could have lost his council seat. I believe Joseph could have lost some clients, but he chose Jesus instead. Amen. He chose Jesus instead. Matthew 27:32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. I'm just giving you some more examples of some people who were not ashamed to bear the chain. Here's another man here, I believe, who was not ashamed to bear the chain. Simon of Cyrene. Now, many think that when the Bible says Simon was compelled, that some compelled Simon to bear the cross of Jesus Christ, many believe that, you know, Simon was forced. You know, that's kind of a picture I think a lot of people have, like some Roman soldiers just forced him to carry the cross. But I don't believe that's the case here. He was compelled. You think about how we use the word compel, how the word compel is used in the Bible. You know, if we're supposed to go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my Father's house may be full, are we forcing people to come in? No, we're going out. We're trying to get people to voluntarily get saved, people to voluntarily come to church. So I believe that, yes, he was compelled, he was asked, he was persuaded, but ultimately, Simon had to volunteer to carry the cross of Jesus Christ. And I believe by doing that, he was saying, I'm not ashamed of the chain. See, you think about it. You think, I bet you could have cut the shame and the reproach in that crowd with a knife. You think about that angry crowd onlooking Jesus as he's trying to bear his own cross. Simon had to have sensed the shame in the crowd. He had to have been able to hear the angry mob and sense the angry mob. And no doubt, you know, I can just hear them. I can just hear them right now. What are you, some kind of Jesus lover or something? What are you, some kind of Jesus sympathizer or something? I mean, can't you just see this angry mob ridiculing him and making fun of him for having some compassion on Jesus Christ and volunteering to help Jesus bear his cross? But he said yes. I believe he was willing to bear the chain of reproach. We saw Joseph of Arimathea chosen to reproach over financial repercussions. And now we see Simon choosing to reproach over his reputation. I believe he said yes to the chain over his reputation. Now turn to John 8:40. We've seen some examples of men who were not ashamed to bear the chain. Now I want to show you an example of a young lady who was not ashamed to bear the chain. Praise God, Brother Pastor Jimenez, you got some good ladies in here, some good prophetesses. Amen. Not ashamed to bear the chain. I'll show you another lady in the Bible who was not ashamed to bear the chain. John 8:40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. Now, excuse me, underline that in your Bible if you would. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Now, I may be wrong on this, but I cannot see any other reason why, when Jesus is talking to these Pharisees, and I can't see any other reason why these Pharisees would be telling Jesus, we be not born of fornication, other than the fact that they're taking a jab at Jesus. They're taking a stab at Jesus, and they're trying to point out the fact that they think he's accusing him. They're accusing him of being born of fornication. I may be wrong on this, but I can't see of any other reason why they would do that. Why they would say this in this statement, we be not born of fornication. They're accusing the Lord Jesus Christ of being born of fornication. I mean, isn't that what they do today? I mean, isn't that what they teach in the Talmud that, you know, he's a bastard child of a Roman soldier? Was it Pandera? Is that the guy's name? Or Pantera? I think it's Pandera in the Talmud. I mean, is that not what they believe today? I believe they believe, where'd they get it from? I believe they believed the same thing back then. They're accusing Jesus of being born of fornication. Now, there's no doubt in my mind. I'm talking to you about a young lady who was not ashamed to bear the chain. I'm talking to you about a young lady who knew what she was getting into, and she said yes to the chain. There's no doubt in my mind that in Luke chapter 1, when that angel Gabriel approached Mary and told Mary, thou shalt bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And she said, how? I know not a man. How is this going to take place? Gabriel? And Gabriel tells her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Now, it had to have crossed Mary's mind. It had to have crossed Mary's mind that, hey, some people are not going to buy this story about you getting impregnated by the Holy Ghost. All right? It had to have crossed her mind. And look, what? Don't you think it crossed Mary's mind? Well, what if Joseph doesn't buy it? What if Joseph puts me away? He was consenting to put her away until the angel showed up and said, no, this is the real deal. She's not lying. So you know it had to cross Mary's mind that what if my espoused husband puts me away? She was only engaged at the time. See, the Bible says her neighbors and her cousins heard the news and rejoiced. So this story had gotten around town about Mary being impregnated by the Holy Ghost. They heard the news. Her cousins and some of her neighbors heard the news and rejoiced. But I have no doubt in my mind that some were suspicious and didn't believe. And proof of this, in my mind, in my opinion, is the fact that Jesus Christ is in his 30s and he's still got this black cloud over his head of being born of fornication. Now, even with the possibility of Mary having to bear a lifelong reproach of being called a whore, being considered a whore, you know what Mary did? Mary told Gabriel, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She said, Lord, thy will be done, not mine. I'm willing to bear my chain, Lord. Amen? Joseph of Arimathea chose the reproach over financial repercussions. Simon of Cyrene chose the reproach over his reputation. I believe Mary chose the reproach over her reputation as well. I don't know if you caught that, brother, but I had some R's in there. I tried to alliterate that thing a little bit, brother. So I was learning from Pastor Menez over here. He's been teaching me and trying to clean me up a little bit. Amen. I really appreciate his class. I've learned a tremendous amount. Amen. But let's talk about a few of those who were ashamed of the chain. Now, we saw those who were not ashamed of the chain. So let's talk about a few of those who were not ashamed of the chain and turn back for whatever reason. Amen. I'm just joking about him trying to clean me up. You can't clean. I'm rough around the edges. My wife tries to clean me up all the time. I'm just joking with him. But now, I want to talk to you about a few of those who did turn back. Just quickly going to touch on a few of those who did turn back, who were ashamed and ashamed for whatever reason. Now, we would all be familiar with when Peter blew it, like we all have at times. I believe we'd all here be familiar with how Peter blew it, just like I've done at times, and probably most of you in here have done at times. But John Mark is another example. Some of you may not be familiar with John Mark. Turn to 2 Timothy 4:11. 2 Timothy 4:11. I would imagine most of you are, but we'll look at him. I'm not going to look at Peter because, you know, pretty much most people be familiar with Peter. 2 Timothy 4:11. Now, while you're turning there, I'm going to read to you from Acts 15:38. I'll read to you from Acts 15:38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. So Paul's thinking good not to take John Mark. He decides to not take John Mark on his soul-winning marathon. Because the Bible says, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Now they had this great conflict, great contention going on. And if you go back and you study Acts chapter 13, you'll see what this contention was all about. See, Paul and his soul winners were on a soul winning marathon. And John Mark, for whatever reason, he decides to go back to the house. He decides to go back to Jerusalem. So he basically ditches them. He bails on them. So there's a really great contention here between John Mark and Paul. Maybe it was reproach he could not bear. We don't know. We don't know for sure why. Maybe it was the reproach. Maybe it was his family members telling him he was in a cult. Maybe he just got tired of hearing his family members tell him he was going to a cult. Maybe he just got tired of hearing his family members say, why do you go door-to-door soul winning? Why do you go door-to-door door knocking? Isn't that what Jehovah's Witnesses do? What are you, a Jehovah's Witness? I've heard that before. Been accused of that by family members. See me pass a card out, tell somebody about the link on the back. Why do you do that? Hear me tell somebody about the video, you know, the video of Direction to Heaven on the back. Man, why do you do that? Isn't that what Jehovah's Witnesses do? I don't know. Maybe John Mark got tired. Maybe it was reproach. Maybe it was John Mark. He got tired of hearing his family say, I can't you believe you're following Paul. I can't believe you're following that Paul. I can't believe you're hanging out with that Paul. Paul is the guy that's so hateful. Paul's the guy that says homos are unclean. Paul's the guy that says homos are vile. Paul's the guy that says homos are inventors of evil. Paul's the guy that says homos are worthy of death. What are you doing hanging out with that Paul? Maybe that's the reason why John Mark turned back. I don't know. Maybe he got sick and tired of hearing probably what many of you have heard, I'm sure. Maybe his boss told him that he couldn't have his job. He couldn't keep his job if he kept following that Paul. Maybe that's why John Mark turned back. Maybe he heard his boss tell him, hey, man, if you keep going to that same church Paul's going, if you keep going to that Verity Baptist church, man, you're out of here, John Mark. Maybe that's why he turned back. I don't know, but I do want you to see what happened shortly after. I do want you to see the rest of the story. Now, I look down at 2 Timothy 4:11. 2 Timothy 4:11. So we don't know. We don't know why John Mark bailed. Maybe it was a reproach. We don't know. But the point I want to point out here is 2 Timothy 4:11. I want you to make sure you see the rest of the story here. Paul's writing to Timothy again. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark. It's John Mark we're talking about here. And bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So even though John Mark bailed, even though he had a weak moment, he blew it, even though he ditched his church, even though he ditched his spiritual leader, we see, hey, he got right with his leader. He had to have gotten right with his leader because Paul saying he's profitable. So obviously he called his spiritual leader and he said, Paul, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I had a weak moment. I was weak. I was worried about losing my job. I had pressure from family. Would you please forgive me, Paul? I want to come back. I want to get back in the fight. I want to make it right. I miss y'all. I love y'all. Please, Paul, will you forgive me? Can I come back? So it's obviously that's what happened. He came back because now he's profitable. Amen. He was restored. Now turn to Philemon, if you would. Philemon, verse 23. I want to show you one more example. Saw a lot of good examples of those who were not ashamed to chain. Look at a couple of examples who people who did turn back, possibly because they were ashamed of the chain. But I want to show you Demas. Now, we know why Demas departed. He loved the world. Maybe that's why. Maybe he wanted the world's praise. He wanted the world's recognition. He couldn't handle the world's reproach. But most of you would be familiar with the story of Demas. Paul told Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, we all know about Demas departing. But I learned something studying this. I wasn't aware about the rest of the story with Demas. So I wanted to point this out. Look at verse 23, Philemon verse 23. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Philemon's after 2 Timothy, right? So 2 Timothy, we see Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So we see Demas takes a hike for whatever reason. Maybe it was the chain, I don't know, but for whatever reason, obviously we do know that he loved the present world, but we don't know the exact specific details about the whole situation is what I'm trying to say. But I don't see any reason why this is not that same Demas. So he took a hike, but now he's a fellow laborer. Can you think of any reason why this would not be the same guy, Pastor Menes? I mean, off the top of your head, I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but... I just have faith, you know, I just think this is the same guy. I mean, Demas is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. This is the third and last mention of Demas. So, I believe this is good news. This is the same guy. Now he's been restored. Now he's a fellow laborer. You know, I believe Demas had a bad day, just like Mark did, just like Peter did. But guess what? It seems to me, the best I can tell, it seems to me as if he's back in the fight. It seems to me as if he's back laboring again. Demas realized, like Mark, hey, I blew it. Hey, I may have lost a round or two. I took a couple of bad hits, but I can always call my pastor back up. I can always ask for forgiveness. I can always get back in the fight. Hey, you know you can lose a few rounds or two, but you know you can still win the fight. Amen. You know you can still get back in the fight. And pick up where you left off, amen? And be profitable and be a fellow laborer again. Paul is calling him a fellow laborer again, amen? And let me say this, this fight's not going away either. This fight's not going anywhere. We need all hands on deck, folks. All hands on deck. Now, I'm almost done. Matthew 24, verse 9. Turn to Matthew 24, verse 9. While you turn into Matthew 24, verse 9, I'll read you Revelation 6, 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. I'm talking to you about the fact this fight ain't going away. It's only going to get worse. It's just now begun. And it's only going to get worse. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for preaching the whole word of God. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain because they stood on the whole Bible. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God because they were still preaching out of Leviticus, because they were still preaching
ceremonial and moral laws that are still every bit as applicable today and still should be being thundered across the pulpits of America. I saw under the altar the souls of them were slain for the word of God. Amen. For standing upon the word of God. Amen. This fight's not going anywhere, and this is what's going to bring us persecution, I believe. Matthew 24, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended. Now please underline offended in your Bible. Then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now let me ask you a question. What's the hot topic issue that's offending everybody? That everybody is so highly sensitive over today, everybody's so highly offended over today, to the point of family members are disowning family members. PayPal accounts are being shut down. Church lease agreements are being terminated. Foreign nations are throwing people out and banning people from coming into their country and even deporting missionaries. What is the big elephant in the room? Sodomy. Sodomites. Because every family's got one now. I'm telling you, the fight's not going anywhere. It's just started. We have a young lady at our church. She's our number one soul winner. 19 years old because she posted something on Facebook. I don't even have Facebook. Don't even know how it works. But she did something. She liked one of your YouTube videos or something to do with your videos with that whole deal that went down over Pulse nightclub. She, you know, said something positive towards it in a positive light. You know, I support Pastor Jimenez, something along those lines. Her family booted her. Gave her the boot, kicked her out of her house. 19 years old. My best, number one soul winner. It's our star soul winner in our church. Parents kicked her out. She had to go move in with her older brother. Hey, I'm telling you, the fight's just now starting. One more verse and I'm done. Mark 8:38, if you would. I really believe the issue that would cause Bible believers to be hated. I really believe this is the issue. It's going to cause... Have you ever thought to yourself, how could a father betray his child and put him to death, or vice versa? How could children betray their parents and have them put to death, like the Bible says? Family members betraying one another. It's this issue. I really believe this is what's going to cause a lot of this. I really believe this is to be the issue that will cause Bible believers to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Look at Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, look, if you desire to follow the Lord closely, have a non-compromising walk with Jesus Christ, and go to a church that preaches the whole counsel of God, go to a church that is not ashamed of any verse in the Bible, not ashamed of Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, not ashamed to preach the whole book and rightly divide the word of law, the word of God, and make all these cop-outs like, oh, that's Old Testament, that's not applicable anymore. When Jesus Christ clearly said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Amen. Jesus did nothing, his death on the cross did nothing to do away with criminal Old Testament moral law. He was only doing away with ceremonial laws that were a shadow of things to come. Amen. If you're a young preacher today and you desire to want to please the Lord and have him come back and not be ashamed of you because you were actually ashamed of his word and you wanted to trim the message, you didn't want to preach all the word of God. If you want to be a pastor, a preacher who sticks to this verse and stands on this verse and says, I'm not going to be ashamed, then I believe it will come to the point that we're considered terrorists. I really believe that. We're going to be treated and we're going to be considered just terrorists. And that's going to be it's going to make it real convenient for the world to persecute us. Because we're going to be considered terrorists. We see that we need not be ashamed of the chain. Amen.
we need not be ashamed of the chain. And the thing about chains is they have links in them. You know, chains have links, and I'm glad to be linked or associated with this church and this man of God over here. Amen. I'm glad to be associated with. I'm very proud of y'all. Now, the dust is settled for a little while. The dust is settled. But more than likely, it'll be back. And you're going to have to stand for round two. Amen. You're going to have to stand for round two. Verity, just keep doing what you've been doing. Amen. I'm proud of you. But don't get cocky. Because ye that think you stand, take heed, lest you fall. Amen. It may be you next time bailing because you're worried about losing your job. Maybe you next time bailing. Amen. And maybe you next time worried about your retirement or whatever. So the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand. Amen. You do your part and let God do his part. Amen. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand. You stand with God's armor and you stand with God's strength. Not by might nor by power. Not by might nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Stand. Don't be ashamed of the chain. Amen. You're not. But keep it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I'm so thankful for the example that this church and this pastor has been to believers all over the world. I'm mighty proud of them, Lord. I'm mighty proud to call them my friends. And Lord, I love this church, love this pastor, his family. Lord, please help him to stand. Lord, I'm so thankful for an example. Lord, Pastor Menez has shown a lot of baby boomers what they should be doing and what they should be preaching. And it's the stand that they should be taking. I'm thankful for the example. I'm thankful for this church who's rallied around the man of God, has encouraged him and refreshed him. And I pray you'd bless them for it. Lord, anybody that's been tempted or anybody who's lost jobs over this, Lord, I pray you just bless them with a better job. Lord, I'm thankful for how Brother Joel, he was telling me before service how his business is just booming right now. He's got more work than he can even handle. Lord, I pray every entrepreneur in this church, Lord, I pray every business owner, Lord, I pray every executive in this church, Lord, I pray you would just multiply them and bless them and help them find grace and mercy and favor in the eyes of their employer. Lord, I pray that they would outwork their workers, all the other workers. I pray that they would get there earlier and leave later and have the best attitudes and outwork everybody on the job site. And they would know they go to Verity Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray you would just bless this place, bless the finances of this place. Lord, help them to continue to be a soul-winning machine and a lighthouse, a beacon of hope and shining forth the word of God without compromising this community. And we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name.